You are tuned to listener-supported community radio, 90.1 KZFR Chico, staying on schedule. There's that song, Eternal Funk, Ken Clark, Organ Trio, Must Be Time for Butte Views and Beyond. Thank you. My name's Ray Longer. I'll be your host this evening and keeping things on schedule. It didn't sound like that good a movie anyway. Anyway, Butte Views and Beyond. We talk about cultural assets in our region, be it arts, culture, information, festivals, events, new opportunities, new openings, culture, economic development, economic opportunities based in culture, be it a burger or a ballet. Huh? I just made that up. That was pretty good. All right. We want to thank our supporters this hour. We want to thank Friends of the Arts, your state local partner to the California Arts Council. Friends of the Arts is hosting a book reading and signing with author Mimi Herman at the bookstore on Sunday, March 5th, 3 to 5 p.m. Mimi will be reading from her latest book, A Coming-to-Age Tale of a Young Woman in the South, The Kudzu Queen. For information, visit the Friends of the Arts Upstate Community Enhancement Foundation Facebook page. And by Drunken Dumpling in Chico, serving locally sourced fresh handmade Asian comfort food at 1414 Park Avenue, Suite 120, just behind Nobby's. Open 4 to 9 p.m. Tuesday through Thursdays, 11 to 9 on Friday and Saturday. Details on Facebook, Instagram, and at drunkendumpling.com, where they love food, flavor, and community. Got a pretty full plate today, so let's get right on to it. Thanks for tuning in. Broadcasting from the fourth floor right here in downtown Chico, California. Thanks for joining in. If you're on our app, KZFR website, KZFR.org, streaming. Starting to rain out there. Drive safe, folks. Hi, Pam Larry. Welcome to Butte Views and Beyond. And a quick introduction. Pam is the director of the Butte County Local Food Network. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Well, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate being here as always. Love the KZFR folk and family. Yeah, for sure.
Well, we love what you guys have been doing for the community. And why don't you let's talk a little bit about the project that you have that's happening now. And then we'll talk a little bit about the organization.
Sure. So just real briefly, right now we have two big events going on. The first is a thing called Let's Grow, and it's a celebration of all things plants. If you go to our website or our Facebook pages, you'll see a month-long schedule of fun events, a lot of talks this week. So please check that out. But what I really wanted to also reach out about right now is the Garden Blitz. So this is a project. This is our fourth annual Spring Garden Blitz, and we have installed over 280 gardens around Butte County since March of 2020. Wow. And right now we have applications open. There are two weekends that we're doing it. The first weekend is March 10th to the 12th, and that'll be from Chico to Gridley. And then the second weekend is March 24th to the 26th. We're going to take a weekend off, and that weekend will be installing boxes in both up on the ridge in Paradise and Magalia, and then also over in Oroville. So you might wonder what a garden blitz is, and it is an opportunity for our community to come together and support each other barn raising style, in the olden days. And people can purchase or apply for a scholarship garden package, and the package includes a raised wooden bed, 12 inches high, soil, hardware cloth underneath, stapled to the bottom for critter control, plants, And then mulch that goes on top, and you order. And then what happens is the community comes together with an amazing volunteer force and installs these gardens. We have these staging sites in each of the locations. And then people come with their trucks and their friends, and they load up all the garden ingredients and go to people's houses, and they install the garden there for the people to make it really easy and helpful for them. So that's what the Garden Blitz is. It's a lot of fun. You know, we've had great turnout before. We have, you know, all sorts of folks. We still need one more tractor driver for Chico on Sunday. Lots of folks with trucks really need volunteers to sign up, but they can do all that stuff, purchase, apply for a scholarship, or sign up to volunteer at our website, which is bclocalfood.org.
bclocalfood.org. Okay, so yes. So basically, you guys, not only do you kind of, when you get a scholarship or you purchase, you get kind of everything at once, you guys also deliver it, right? And install?
Yes, we do. Yeah, we do. And we have a very robust scholarship fund this time, courtesy of both Chico Natural Foods and their Roundup. We were their Roundup participant in December. And then also a very generous donation from the Adventist Health, Feather River Health Foundation.
Oh, great.
They're very, very committed to increasing health around Butte County, and they think that this is a great thing to support so people can grow their fresh, healthy food right in their backyards. Yeah. I also want to encourage people, because I'm sure everyone's noticing that food prices are going up. And from all of the indicators that I read, professional expert sort of things, is that this is not going to stop, and that food prices this year could go up and, you know, double again. And I just read that the government is cutting quite a bit of funding for SNAP. So USD just made that announcement at the end of last week. And I don't know what that'll end up looking like, but it's a substantial amount. So I'm really excited about our opportunity for our community to come together and help support each other, eat more healthy food.
Yeah. How much space would someone need to commit for a garden plot?
It would be good to have at least pretty good sun. It doesn't have to be full on blazing, you know, hot afternoon sun, because we actually get really hot here. But there are two sizes. If you order a scholarship box, they're 4x4. And then if you purchase a garden, you can either get a 4x4 or a 4x8. So, you know, those sizes, sorry about the garbage in the background there, but if those sizes, you know, figure, I don't know, a couple, 3 feet around each, you know, each one,
yeah,
you know, to give plenty of room to like get your wheelbarrow there or your whatever that you want to, you know, that you might need in the future. You don't want to be crawling on yourself.
Right.
Yeah. So not a ton of space, but it can produce a lot of food for you.
Yeah, you really can. And in a 4x4, I mean, for example, if you're planting tomatoes and you're going to grow them vertically, instead of just rolling across the ground, I mean, it's amazing how much stuff you can get in a space like that. And this is something that could also go in your front yard as well.
Oh,
as
yeah.
Pull out your lawn, because there's no more water and the price of water is crazy. So you might as well get something.
Right. I mean, that's a really great thing you're bringing up, because right now my understanding is the water places are giving those small mini grants to homeowners to transform their yards from lawns into food. It's less water that you use, far less. And actually, that's one of the talks that we're having. I was telling you about will be given by Laura Lukes. And let me find anyway, she's going to be talking about how you transform your yard into a water saving, food producing.
Yeah.
Amazing. And I'm trying to find her date.
And not only that, you know, they'll probably give you money to take your yard out. I mean,
exactly.
I know that,
yeah,
they've had different programs that come around. And I'm sure that, I mean, even though we had about, you know, 3 weeks of rain and things are better than they were last year, we're still going to be in a severe drought in about 2 weeks.
Definitely. People will have to can go to the I'm trying to find the schedule. I don't have it. Laura's talk will be at the 1078 gallery Again, you're going to need to go look that up on our website or on Facebook to find out the exact time and date. I'm sorry, I don't have those in front of me.
Yeah, and that's bclocalfood.org. Pretty
correct.
Countylocalfood.org. Think of that, bclocalfood.org. Pretty simple.
Yeah, very simple.
That's and you guys, now do you also supply the plants, or is that do people choose that, or is it, you know, you obviously can do whatever you want, right?
Right, right. So Sherry Scott of Harvest and Habitats, we partner with a whole lot of people. Whenever we do something like this, we've got quite a few other kinds of partners like Paradise Community Guilds, blah, 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 blah. But anyway, Sherry Scott from Harvest and Habitats is I consider her one of our most knowledgeable plant people in our county. And she runs that small nursery that we support and work with a lot. She's the main driver of this month-long seed celebration. We're there to support her in all sorts of ways, but she's the brains behind it. But she figures out the best plants to for people, you know, taking into account ease to grow, you know, like how prolific they are and the season, and she chooses them. So if you get the 4x4, you get 6 plants. If you get the 4x8, you get 12.
Okay.
And they're all different plants. And she always includes an herb of some sort and a flower so that there's companion planting for the other things that she picks.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Sounds great. I mean, you know, honestly, it's the right time. The ground's nice and soft. It's a good time to pull stuff out. Don't wait till the middle of June to try to pull that lawn out, because it'll be like breaking cement.
Right. And I really encourage people to sign up for the scholarship fund. I mean, you know, this is a huge value. Even if you purchase it, the amount we're charging, which is $150 for the 4x4 and $275 for the 4x8. If you go to Lowe's, just the container itself costs $275 oftentimes.
Yeah.
And so you're getting high quality soil. We pick the highest quality soil we can find it locally, and you get the plants and the mulch and the hardware cloth already stapled, and it's all done for you and delivered and installed. So it's kind of like, it's like a no brainer. And, you know, just really, even if you've never grown before, when we first started this program in March of 2020, we had a hope to be able to have mentors. And then COVID happened, and that all fell apart. More and more people are showing up to say that they'll be mentors. And so we're trying to coordinate all that to help people be successful with their growing.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Honestly, it is a no brainer. And, you know, I mean, that's the right way to do it. You try like above ground boxes or smaller things, and it's just not the same. But when it's all those plants kind of in that same space and sharing the same resources and nutrients and water, it's a much more efficient way to do. And I'm glad you've got that critter barrier in there. Because,
right. Yeah.
You know, if there's a will, there's a way. That's for sure.
Right, there is, man. They don't really share. So, you know, darn them. But anyway, so that's it. And I, you know, very much appreciate it. You have any other questions about anything else?
Well, let's talk a little bit. Again, quick recap. How long is this? Is the Garden Blitz going to go? Is that something that only happens for a couple of months, or what's the time frame on that?
It happens on those weekends. We're closing purchase applications on February. On February 20th. Is it 20th? Okay. No, 24th, I think. We'll do 24th. So closing applications for Chico on the 24th, and then on March 20th in Paradise and Magalia. The other thing that's really fun is that students are going to be making most of the boxes this year again.
Okay.
We started that last year, Chico, Achieve, Paradise, Ridgeview and Paradise, and then we had Prospect in Oroville, and possibly they'll be doing that again. So this is just part of our whole organization. I encourage people to go to our website. We do a whole lot around local food. We have an initiative called Grown, where we're teaching kids in schools how to grow food, and then it's also connected to an initiative we call 1,000 Acres More, and that's to do everything we can to encourage our community to grow 1,000 acres more of food that stays local. We support the farmers market. We have a farmers market mobile to extend their reach, which is a refrigerated van. And we set up like a double booth farmers market stand with food from our local farmers. We pick it up at the farmers market on Saturdays. That goes to Concow and Magalian. If you'd like to see it in your community, give us a ring. And, we'll see how we can coordinate together to make that happen. It's a process, and we definitely want to expand the reach of the farmers market.
That's great. Yeah, that's all at bclocal.org.
bclocalfood.org, yeah.
bclocalfood.org. And I just want to point this out, so because this show is going to broadcast on the 23rd. So if you're hearing this on the KCFR, that's the only way you're going to hear it, and you want to order for Chico, you got to do it by the end of the day on Friday, which is tomorrow. Just so you know.
Right. So, okay. Well, I didn't know that. Well, yeah. And if you really want one, just beg me and I'll, I'm a softie. And unless,
we'll work it out.
We can extend it a couple more days. So
yeah, we'll work out the details. Don't be left out, but yeah, it's a great deal. And it's not only what you guys do, because this is a consumer gift. It's really the clients. And I mean, to get that all done and delivered and installed, all you have to do is point and tell them where you want it.
Exactly.
And it's happening, and you'll be growing your own food. And not only that, you'll be saving the planet, aiding the community, saving money, and teaching.
Saving water. You know, sometimes people say to me, well, how can I afford the water to have a garden? And I say, somebody is using water to grow your food, and you will do a much better job at saving water than a large corporate industrial sort of endeavor. So please don't let that be again. And you can get, support if you want to do your whole yard. All that kind of stuff. It's out there, and really encouraging us to let go of those lawns. Permaculture food forests are beautiful. They create little microclimates so that it's a lot cooler in where you are than your surrounding area that might be full of cement and stuff like that. I mean, there's just all sorts of benefits. Go and poke around on our website. There's a lot of great information there. bclocalfood.org.
All right. Thank you, Pam, for joining us, and keep up the work.
All righty. Butte County Local Food Network. It's the Garden Blitz. And again, the website, bclocalfood.org. This program ends tomorrow at 5. Go to the website if you're a little delayed, and you can try to work it out with Pam to make it happen. So really, really wonderful work they've been doing for years here in Butte County. And always another thing coming up. And of course, this weekend is Museum Weekend. It's going to be kind of stormy. We all been hearing about that, so good weekend to keep it local and increase your awareness.
I'd like to welcome Heather McAfee. Did I get that right?
McCafferty.
I'm sorry. Heather McCafferty from she is the Butte County's Cultural Facilities Curator and overseeing the museums in the Oroville area. Welcome to Butte Views.
Thank you for having me.
Well, quite timely, because this weekend is Butte County Museum Weekend, and I thought it'd be great to have you on, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about what's available countywide, but specifically in Oroville, because you guys have some real gems over there.
Yeah, we do. I'm excited to be here, and we're excited for Museum Weekend. All five of our City of Oroville museums will be participating this year, so we're getting excited.
Yeah. Well, let's give everybody a quick rundown of what you guys have to offer. Cause I think people think of like, there's the Chinese temple and what else is there,
Yeah. Well, I know. Yeah. It's really kind of amazing the number of museums that you can find. That they're all within 1 mile of each other. Actually, the city museum, I like to call it the museum mile. So we have the CF Lot home. It's a historic home. Which was built in 1856. There is the Chinese temple. And right down the street from the Chinese temple is a museum called the Bolts Antique Tool Museum, which features a collection of 12,000 tools and growing. We have the Pioneer Museum, which is right downtown Oroville, and was built in 1932, actually. So it's almost 100 years old, and that, that celebrates pioneer history with an incredible, huge collection. And then we have the Feather River Nature Center, which is right down the street, right on the Feather River. And that is housed in an old bathhouse that was built in the 1930s by the WPA, because it was a very popular swim spot at the time. So so that building has been kind of restored and turned into a little nature center.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite spots. It's an absolutely beautiful park and area to walk and just really spend the day. Matter of fact, that's your picnic lunch spot, if I'm going to pick one.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, there's picnic tables, places to sit. It's right across from the fish hatchery. Beautiful views. And the Feather River Nature Center has, the volunteers there have just spent hundreds of hours working to create a beautiful native plant landscape that is just beautiful to behold. So it's really a pleasure to be there.
Yeah, it's absolutely gorgeous. It's right across from the hatchery and the fish ladder. So you can cruise over there and check that out as well. And a couple of years ago, they put a whole bunch of just beautiful silhouette sculptures in that park by the Nature Center. And it's, I mean, you know, when they had the big flood, back when they had the dam incident in, 2018, I think, that area got really heavily impacted because the water was like right up to the road. But man, it came back really strong and it looks beautiful. And it's just such an amazing, the topography there is just amazing.
It really is. I agree. It's really a special spot that, that you can take walks along the river and just enjoy the Feather River. So it's really wonderful.
Yeah. And, you know, people might not realize that before they built the dam, the Feather River was much bigger than it is today. And they would have, you know, there were steamboats and ferries that would go up and down that river and deliver. And you can still see there's a couple of big bolts attached to the rocks where they had cables going across for transport and for bridges and that. So it's pretty fun place.
Yeah. There's a lot of history, you know, to discover along that area. And that's something, you know, that the docents at the Feather River Nature Center, when it is open to the public, like to share too, just about the extensive history of that area.
Yeah. The other one I really like in Oroville is the Pioneer History Museum, which again is, you know, you go and you think, oh, it's just kind of a small building, you know, right there on Montgomery. It's huge. It's like 5,000 square feet inside. I mean, it's enormous.
Yeah, it's kind of mind-blowing. Yeah, experience when you walk in, because, you know, just is kind of tucked in there next to a little bookstore. And it's a little, you know, cobblestone building that was built in 1932 as a replica of a, you know, 49ers cabin. That was the original building, which is really, it houses an incredible collection of, you know, pioneer artifacts from the original pioneers to the area. But then you walk back and you realize there's a gigantic, huge first, you know, floor beyond, which has, you know, all of these kinds of display dioramas to show how people in the pioneer years lived. And, you know, like there's a kitchen and a library and, you know, just kind of, you can kind of see the things and the people used and the way people lived. And then downstairs is a whole nother, you know, with a blacksmith shop and, you know, just more collections. You know, some of the collections even representing the people that founded the museum, because it was quite an undertaking to do that. So it's really absolutely an incredible little gem there.
Yeah, it sure is. And these dioramas, these are life size. These aren't like, you know, yeah, 4 feet, you know what I mean? These are life size. These are actually like, this is what the rooms would look like. Yeah, it's pretty fun. It's a great place. And it's amazing. I mean, the first time I went there, I thought, okay, I'll be in here like 20 minutes, half hour. I was there for like 5 hours, you know?
Yeah. No, you could definitely spend at least that there and come back again, you know? So it's a great place to discover in Oroville.
Yeah, and the beauty, too, it's right on Montgomery Street, so there's restaurants and shops, and you can walk and do the stroll. And just being in historic downtown Oroville, just to see the architecture is something in itself. So that's, you know, don't just drive up to these places and then expect to leave, because you are part of its living history right there.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, we've got a little work going on in our building here. I'm not sure if you can hear it in the background, but the downtown Orville is just so charming, and there's great little places to shop and grab some food and, you know, and enjoy, you know, the Orville City Museums all in one little outing. So, Pioneer Museum is right downtown.
Yeah, it's great. And then we talked a little bit earlier about this before we came on, but the Butte County Historical Society Museum, that's a new one to me. So that's going to have to go on my list, and I'll have to go check that out. And that's on Spencer Avenue. Is that right?
Yeah, the Butte County Historical Society is it's not technically one of the city's museums, but it is an incredible spot to go and learn about the history of Butte County and Pioneer history. And they're putting up some great new exhibits for this event in particular. And they have a very extensive archive collection. You know, if you're interested in the history of the area, it's just it's a wealth of information, a really great spot to check out. So add that to your list when you come to Orville.
Yeah, and while you're downtown, last but not least, you got to check out the State Theater just because it's completely restored. They've spent tons of hours. They completely rebuilt the pipe organ. That's like 45 feet tall. It's pretty cool just to walk in there.
It is. You know, I actually got a tour of it. I'm fairly new here in this position, so I went and met with Cindy at the State Theater last week, and she gave me a tour, and I was just blown away, you know, by my experience when she played the organ, you know, and the feeling of being in that space with the organ playing. It resonates, you know, through the whole space, and it's so beautiful inside. And they put, so much time and energy into restoring that. So I would highly recommend, you know, stopping by the State Theater, and they will be playing the organ throughout the day. So definitely check that out.
Yeah, you're literally going back 100 years or more.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And you kind of get a sense of what it would have been like to see a film, you know, because they built it before, you know, they had audio or and so just kind of picturing what that would have been like to go to a movie and have that kind of like an experience with the music is it's fun to think about.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. So let's Explore Butte County is kind of the landing place to get all this information. ExploreButteCounty.com, and just click on the museum weekend and you'll find all the museums listed. Obviously, there's, you know, Bunch and Chico, the Children's Museum, Air Museum, Janet Turner, Gateway Science, Chico History, Monca, our wonderful art museum. And then let's not leave out Gridley Museum and also the Gold Nugget Museum up on the ridge and the Chico Art Center. So I think there's 18 total museums this year, and everything is up on the Explore Butte County site. They have an app. You can put that on your phone and it'll show you where to go.
Yeah. And, you know, something kind of fun too, they're introducing these new passports. So if you go to any of the museums, they'll all have a passport. And if you go to 5 museums, there are little goodies you can get, like a free ice cream or a free appetizer and that kind of thing. So that's another incentive to explore more than one museum this weekend. And And I think the Blaine L. Smith Museum of Anthropology will also be open, and that's my old stomping ground. So I kind of want to give a shout out. That was where I worked for 12 years. So the Museum of Anthropology, I know they have a really great new exhibit open on soil. So.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
All righty. And for details about Museum Weekend this weekend, check out Explore Butte County, the Explore Butte County website. There's a lot of things on there, of course, Museum Weekend just being one of them, but fantastic site, for especially if you have visitors coming. ExploreButteCounty.com. We'll take a quick musical break, and we'll get right back to Butte Views and Beyond right here on the Mighty Zephyr. Oh, the beautiful guitar work of Kenny Burrell from Moon and Sand, Blue Bossa.
David Zink, welcome to Butte Views and Beyond. And David is the chairperson for PATCH. And I'll let you tell us that acronym. And of course, people know you, that you've been involved in a number of things over the years. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Ray. I appreciate it. So PATCH is an acronym. It stands for the Paradise Arts Theater and Culture Hub. And up here on the ridge. And PATCH involves six different organizations. Give you a little background. Just a couple of months after the campfire, met for beers with a couple of members of the Gold Nugget Museum, Don Criswell, Bill Hartley. And they pitched me on the museum co-locating with Norton Buffalo Hall. As you, some of your listeners may be aware, Paradise Community Guilds ran the Norton Buffalo Hall, which was the old Paradise Grange. And we had determined that we wanted to rebuild, and the Gold Nugget Museum wanted to rebuild. The idea was to drive foot traffic past each other's doorsteps. They had experienced a big loss of volunteer base because of the campfire, and also audience base. And figured the best way that both organizations could survive would be to co-locate in order to share that volunteer base and perhaps cross-pollinate audiences. So that was the idea. It grew through the long-term community recovery planning process that the town of Paradise went through. And by the end of that process, the partnership of Gold Nugget Museum and Norton Buffalo Hall Foundation to co-locate was right there in the plan. From there, we got interest from Theater on the Ridge, Judy Clemens, from Paradise Arts Center, Kathleen Dysart. We attracted the interest of Paradise Recreation and Park District, as well as the Machuca Tribal Council. And there were some other potential partners in there. Center for Spiritual Living Paradise was a part of the conversation, the old Paradise Senior Center, which is now the Paradise Community Center, and also Paradise Performing Arts Center. They were all a part of the conversation at one time or another. But we've settled down to this collaboration of six different distinct organizations to co-locate. So we're not merging our organizations, we're partnering between the organizations.
Sure.
And so we've put together a 501c3 nonprofit org. You can visit the website, paradisepatch.org. We're moving forward with making our early steps in figuring out where we want our location to finally be. Currently, the best option we have is where the Gold Nugget Museum is currently located at 475 Pearson Road in Paradise. Mm-hmm. However, we're looking at properties that are closer to the walkable downtown. And, you know, we find that after doing some research, that communities that invest in arts and culture, in stimulating the arts and culture scenes in their communities, they end up having a stronger economic for the town.
Sure.
So we're hoping that just imagine a campus where there's a Gold Nugget Museum and you can come and experience the history of the Ridge, where there's an art gallery featuring some of the art created by local artists and perhaps from artists outside of the Paradise Ridge, where there's a performing arts center, where Theater on the Ridge can hold its plays, where Norton Buffalo Hall can put on its concerts.
Sure.
Imagine that there are zip lines out there that folks are or places for them to work out. So there's a recreational element. And imagine that this campus also supports lively activities from the Machuca tribe to hold, you know, to engage our community in tribal culture and tribal knowledge. So that's the kind of campus we're talking about. It would be a place where you could reliably come to experience a cross-fertilization of arts and culture experiences.
Wow, that is really dynamic and fantastic. And thank you for spelling it out in such a organized way, because it's a big project. Yeah. And but you are really, you know, you are creating a campus, a destination for these things. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine it as you're saying it. I'm like, yeah, you walk across the plaza. Here's, you know, some sculptures and exhibits. And and again, I couldn't agree more about the arts and culture being the economic driver for communities. And I know that this has been an uphill battle, but I think in the last 10 years, it has really come to fruition and people understand it. You know, you don't go to, you know, think of any place you visit and you go there to see the museums or the cathedrals, and they have great restaurants and there's nightlife and there's beautiful views and nice places. You don't go because, oh, they've got the most efficient budget in town, or they've got, you know, the best water collection system. You go there for arts and culture. And I know for some people, they think that means, oh, stuffy, boring, but it's everything that makes your eye tingle is arts and culture.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And it's to me, it's the first evidence of human resilience when we begin to create art. That is that first sign that things are going to be okay eventually. You know, after the campfire, I remember the scorched earth, everything was black all around us, and we had a rain. And shortly after that rain, we saw those tiny, slender green shoots of grass popping up through the burned, charred landscape. Yep. And that, to me, was a sign that we, you know, that the nature that we're a part of is going to be okay. At the one-year commemoration of the campfire, we put together what essentially was an early experiment in what Patch could be. We put together this event that we called Joy Will Find a Way, Experience Butte County's Resilience Through the Arts. We engaged 150 different artists. It was the Paradise Symphony Orchestra. It was the Chico State Envy Hip Hop Team. It was choirs. It was singer-songwriters, poets, filmmakers, photographers, Theater on the Ridge, cultural historians. It was just a wide array of folks that we brought together on a narrative of human resilience, coming through our tragedy and looking toward a great beyond. It was a magnificent event. And that was a great stimulation and a great boost to the Patch conversation. You know, Paradise historically has been a place that's been rich with residents who engage in the arts.
Yeah.
In fact, I remember some not too long ago, Chico was designated as a community that had a rich representation of the arts there. Well, many of the artists that were being celebrated in Chico lived in Paradise on the Paradise Ridge.
Right. I know. Chico is the magnet. It's kind of like the Kleenex, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you guys are tissues, but they're the Kleenex, you know?
Well, we're wanting to, attract folks back up here. And by the way, the project of Patch does not compete with some of the other artistic interests that are out there. You know, so Paradise Performing Arts Center, a case in point, that's a 760-seat venue. It's just a gem in the North State for a performance venue. But currently it's difficult to fill that hall.
Sure.
And the Patch project gives us, instead of a large venue like that, it gives us a mid-size venue where we can maybe bigger than the Theater on the Ridge venue is at the moment, which seats about 100 people. Maybe we're going for 250 seater, you know.
Right,
so,
sure.
So that when we draw 250 to an event, it really feels like a great big success, as opposed to when you draw 250 to a event at Paradise Performing Arts Center, it might feel like, you know, we're glad we all saw each other, but gee, it would have been great to have more people here.
Yeah, yeah. And that's something that's always been really needed in Butte County, to be honest with you. You know, you have Laxon Auditorium, of course, which is, 1,200 people. And I think the big room maxes out at 300. Women's Club is about 220 max, you know. But you have that void, you know. So that's great, and especially for the Ridge. And, yeah, that's that. one accents the other.
One accents the other. Exactly.
You know, there's a reason why you have a Burger King across from McDonald's, across from a Wendy's. When one stands alone, they don't do as well. When you put all three together, they all rock. And it's the same with, you see it with gas stations and on and on and on. It one feeds the other. And as more things come in, more people become aware of it. The more artists come aware of it, the more producers and, performers come aware of it, the more it grows.
Well, things are really happening here on the Ridge. I mean, if you've been following any of the news about the respective arts and cultural organizations, you know that we've been doing a lot. Theater on the Ridge has had a robust schedule of offerings ever since the campfire, frankly. I think in February, right after the campfire, they put on Radioland, which was like the first triumph of the return of the arts on the Ridge. It was just a magnificent event. Gold Nugget Museum has continued in its role of, supporting the Gold Nugget days and building up a museum collection. They've got several employees now working for them. Norton Buffalo Hall Foundation has put on a number of events.
Yeah.
Paradise Arts Center has grown its membership. They're offering classes and workshops in a variety of art modalities, visual arts. All of us are working quite a lot on stimulating the scene. Now as a collaboration, the project is to raise funds to get going. So yeah, it's identifying, our commitment to a chunk of land and then figuring out how we're going to build from there. And so we're talking about significant fundraising, significant community engagement, so that we can hear from the community what their ideas are for a cultural and a Paradise Arts Theater and Culture Hub. Design-wise, how can we build this thing so that it maximally meets the needs of our community? So we've got a $50,000 grant from North Valley Community Foundation. It's a matching grant. They offered the first $25,000 of it. It was up to us to raise the next $25,000. I'm glad to say we did that through matching grants from the Center for Spiritual Living Paradise and from Adventist Health. And so we've got $75,000 now to start getting us in the groove. We've retained a couple of staffers that can work on this thing, several hours a week for us. And now we're beginning to go after grants. We're looking at this Upstate Creative Corps grant opportunity, looking for ways that we can begin to engage with the community and get serious about the fundraising project so we can get toward our final campus.
Yeah, it's amazing. Honestly, I love the concept. I kind of envision it over by the, where the park was, right off of Pearson there, but over by Fur. And I'm thinking, wherever it ends up. But I love the idea of it being in a walkable space to help create economic development and opportunities for the community around it.
Yeah.
And that now, as you said that, and you mentioned the zip line, I'm thinking, what about gondolas coming up the Skyway?
You're thinking in the right direction. Yeah. I'd love to see a trolley go through town, just to take folks through. And paths that connect, we're working toward a walkable downtown in Paradise.
Maybe a monorail.
Who knows? Yeah. We've got a couple of events coming up. Can I tell you about those?
Yes. Yeah, please do. We gotta pick it up, though.
Right. March 18th at Theater on the Ridge, we're hosting the world-acclaimed heavywood acoustic guitarist, Don Ross. The guy is just an immense talent. And so that's March 18th, Theater on the Ridge. Tickets are for sale at Eventbrite. And on March 24th, the following week, a Friday night, we have the first annual Daffodil Dance and Duets event. It's a community dance that's going to be a lot of fun. We've got a middle chunk of the evening that's going to be dedicated to featuring local duets, both danced and sung. And we've got a tremendous amount of art that's been donated, both from Paradise residents and Chico, that will be offered at silent auction. We may have actually a live auction component as well. But that will be at the Veterans Memorial Hall, March 24th, 7 p.m. Again, tickets available at Eventbrite.
All right. What's the date of Don Ross again?
Don Ross, March 18th. It's a Saturday night.
318. Great.
Theater on the Ridge. And Veterans Memorial Hall, Daffodil Dance and Duets on March 24th.
All righty. Another nice interview. Thank you, David, for joining Butte Views and Beyond. We got one more coming up for you, but we'll first thank our underwriters. We want to thank Lampe Construction, a proud supporter of KCFR and Community Radio Northern California. You can get more information at dalampeconstruction.com and by Mountain Sports. Over 45 years providing outdoor clothing and equipment for hiking, backpacking, camping, traveling, and enjoying the great outdoors. Open Monday through Saturday, 10 to 5:30, 11 to 4 on Sunday at 176 East 3rd Street in downtown Chico.
Well, I have the honor of welcoming Mimi Herman, who is an author and recently published. Is that correct?
Absolutely, yeah.
The Kudzu Queen. Did I get that right?
Yeah, you did. The Kudzu Queen.
The Kudzu Queen. Let's talk a little bit about it. I mean, it's one of those like, okay, what is that? And then obviously, as you start to read the book, it's like, oh, I guess it's more of a regional thing that we aren't experiencing here in Northern California.
Yeah, well, you know, it's an invasive plant. And I know you Californians know all about invasive plants, you know, the eucalyptus and that sort of thing. So our version of the eucalyptus is kudzu. It was actually introduced intentionally into this country, like a lot of other invasives, and they forgot to bring the predators with it. So nothing keeps it in check, and it has taken over the South. It's a vine that grows up trees, telephone poles. You know, if you leave your tractor, your cow in the field overnight, you're going to come back and find it's become southern topiary.
So it's just like in the book, huh?
Yeah, totally.
No water, no fertilizer.
No. In fact, you know, for a while they were trying to get rid of it, you know, trying to poison it, trying to do weed killer, and it thrives on weed killer. It grows even stronger.
Wow, amazing. Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about your book and the inspiration and those things.
Yeah, well, this is going to tell you how long ago I started writing this book. I found something about kudzu festivals and men who went around the South promoting kudzu and having kudzu beauty pageants. I found it on microfiche in the library, in the public library. Don't ask me what I was doing on microfiche all those years ago or why I was looking up kudzu, but I just thought it was too strange. And I had to write a story to figure out why that happened.
Okay, I have to. I think I got a little ahead of myself. One of the reasons we're having you on is because you're going to be doing a reading.
Yeah.
On Sunday, March 5th, right here in Chico, California, at the bookstore, which is right downtown, as most people know, from 3 to 5 p.m. So that there we go. There's the precursor. That's why people need to pay attention and listen to the to us now.
Cool. Well, I am so excited about it. I can't wait. I have dear friends in Chico, and I just think it's one of the coolest places around.
No, right on. So, okay, so this thing was brought intentionally, and it was promoted kind of to save the world, huh?
It was, actually, yeah. I mean, just like in the book, they it thought it fought erosion, which it kind of does, but doesn't root as well as it should. So, and it does do all of those things in Japan. They like it. They call it kudzu and they use it for lots of stuff. But in Japan, they can keep it in check. But you can eat it. You can make things out of it. It's a great plant as long as it doesn't take over an entire region.
Right. And it was brought and promoted in the 40s, 50s?
Well, it was promoted in the 40s and 50s. It was brought over at the, I want to say the 1896 World's Fair. I'm pretty sure about that date, right? And for a while, there was a landscaping company that sold it as an ornamental. And then, you know, in the 30s, think Dust Bowl, think Depression. People were looking for a plant that would grow quickly, keep the soil where it was supposed to be, and feed people and their animals. And kudzu looked good. So the Department of Agriculture put out pamphlets telling farmers the proper way to propagate kudzu. And the CCC, the Civilian Conservation Corps, planted it along railway embankments to make sure that the railway embankments didn't fall down into the railroad. I know out in California, you've got some erosion troubles too, right? That block highways and things.
Oh, yeah. And You want to talk a little bit about the storyline and those kind of things?
Yeah, sure. So I thought of this person, like what sort of person would want to promote kudzu? And he's kind of a I want to say he's a con artist. He's a bit of a con artist. Story's told from the point of view of Maddie Lee Watson, who's a precocious 15-year-old girl. Maddie thinks a lot of herself, and she meets a kudzu king. She thinks he's gorgeous. So she wants the kudzu king, even though he's twice her age, to fall in love with her. And she wants to be the kudzu queen. Maddie doesn't have a lot of social graces, so she has to learn those social graces from the mayor's wife. And she doesn't take to it too well, but she does, in fact, learn some. And then she discovers some dark things about the kudzu king. And I won't tell you any more about that.
All right. All right. Book. Yeah. No, it's a fun read. And I like the way you kind of laid that out with that. I was like, don't say anything, because you're going to blow it. You know, spoiler alert kind of thing. And then when did it come out? When did the book get published?
Just came out January 10th, 2023.
Oh, wow. Okay. Right. So it's brand new, huh?
It is brand new. I'm so excited. I've been having the best time taking it around different places, talking to people who've read it, talking to people who haven't yet. It's been a great ride so far, and I can't wait to come to Chico.
Yeah, very fun. And is this your first novel?
It's first published novel. Like a lot of novelists, I have a couple in the bottom drawer, kind of mildewing away. And I've got a couple of poetry books that I published and a nonfiction book, but novel writing is my great love. And
oh,
so
great,
I'm excited
great.
About this one.
Oh, very fun. And again, going to be at the bookstore on March 5th, 3 to 5 p.m., open to the public. Come on down. We'll have it up on the Friends of the Arts Facebook page, and it'll be great to meet you guys. Now, you're also involved. You're also educators as well, right? You and your husband?
Yeah. Yep. My partner, John Yule, and I run Right Away's writing workshops in France, a chateau in France, villas in Italy, adobes in New Mexico, and a manor house in Ireland, as well as online. They're week-long writing workshops where people of all ages and all skill levels come and really spend a week being spoiled rotten and indulging themselves in their writing and coming out better writers at the other end of it.
Nice. Very nice. And how big are these workshops?
They're small. They range from about 6 to 12 people. And okay. We eat together. We have a happy hour every evening. And so you get a lot of personal attention. We really love it.
Oh, nice. So it's a more intimate setting. And I would take it that it's probably like a full range, right? You have novices to published authors that attend these?
Absolutely. Full range. People who never written, people who wrote in college and haven't touched it since, and published authors. And for some reason, it really works. And everybody gets a lot out of the workshop.
Yeah, I would imagine just the collaboration of being with like-minded people never hurts to be in a nice, beautiful location, but kind of isolated, right? It's not like
we like to be a little outside of town. I'm sorry.
Pardon me. I'm sorry. It's not like being in Midtown Manhattan. You're in a beautiful place, and you're kind of amongst your people.
Yeah. We want to create a community, and to do that, we want to be a little outside of any town on a beautiful property, where people can go for lovely walks and also sit in the living room and talk writing.
Yeah. And how long have you been doing these right-aways?
10 years, one decade.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, very fun, very fun. And do you go back to the same locations?
I do. We started at the chateau in France in the Loire Valley because a friend of ours said, I love the way you two teach. I'd love for you two to teach something together. And happened to know a friend with a castle. You interested? So we said, sure, why not? And it was so much fun that first time that on the plane back, we were thinking, all right, what are we going to call this? Let's call it Right-Aways. What's our tagline? How about why write at home when you can write in a castle? Or is your writing missing a certain je ne sais quoi? And it just kind of took off from there.
Oh, fun. How fun. Yeah. I mean, and it's, vacation with a purpose, basically, right? Kind of.
Exactly.
Vacation with a purpose, which is, some people have to go skiing or skydiving or these things. And it's a perfect way. I like the way that you isolate, because it's like, well, you can write it. Well, you can't write it home because the phone rings, the email, and the dog barks, and the neighbor comes over. And, there's all these things you hear about, the people, I get up at 3 a.m. and I write for 2 hours. Well, that's great, but I don't know if that's most people.
Yeah, who are these people? I think they're aliens, personally.
So a little more information about your right-of-ways. You guys have a website, Facebook page?
We do. It's just rightaways.com, rightaways.com. And you can find everything about it. We're sold out for New Mexico and Ireland this year, but we've still got a little space in France and Italy, France in the summer. And this year we're doing our first ever two-week right-of-way. So for people who can't get enough, you can stay for the first week, the second week, or both.
Oh, wow. Well, that's terrible that you got to choose between France and Italy. So there you go.
I know.
Heartbreaker. Now, is your husband also an author?
He is. He's an amazing author. He's working on a great book right now. And he's also an amazing editor. He is the best editor I know. Great reader. Straight to the point. Knows plot backwards and forwards. And I can't wait till his book comes out.
Nice. Is that something that's, is it on the cusp? Or where's that at?
He's working on writing it, so he's got to get it written first before it gets to come out, unfortunately. Oh, yeah, gotcha. I'm not impatient about these things.
Right. All right, so let's do a little recap for those that just joined us. Why don't you, again, tell us a little bit about the Kudzu Queen, which was just published in January. Go ahead.
It's about Maddie Lee Watson, a 15-year-old girl who wants the Kudzu King to fall in love with her, and she wants to be the Kudzu Queen until she discovers some dark secrets.
There you go. And kudzu, believe it or not, is an actual invasive species brought here to change agriculture and got out of control. And it's kind of like when they brought what did they bring? They brought something somewhere, you know, mongoose to kill the snakes, and then, you know. You know, these crazy ideas. If you've ever been to Hawaii and all those thorny bushes along the coastline, they were brought to make the indigenous people wear shoes. Believe it or not, because the missionaries were outraged that nobody wore clothes and nobody wore shoes because they were in Hawaii. And so they brought all these, and I can't remember what it's called, but it's all over the coast, especially on Maui. And it's got big old thorns on it, and there you go.
Well, I thought you were joking. That's crazy.
You know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, right?
Yeah, and it's as if these people never heard of the food chain.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, hey, Mimi, thank you so much for joining us today and on Butte Views and Beyond. And again, the reading is going to be on March 5th, which is a Sunday afternoon, 3 to 5 at the bookstore. Right down in downtown Chico. And if you go to the Friends of the Art Facebook page, Upstate Community Enhancement Foundation, you'll see an event posted and a little RSVP so we can get a head count.
That sounds great. Thanks so much for having me, Ray. It's been great talking with you.
Great to talk to you too. And I look forward to meeting you in person here in a few weeks.
Can't wait.
All right, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time on Butte Views and Beyond. Stay tuned for Peanut Butter and Jelly Time. Good weekend to stay home. If you're heading in the mountains, please, please, please check the road conditions. Be safe. There's going to be a lot of action going on. All right, take care, everybody.
Peanut butter jelly, peanut butter jelly, peanut butter jelly, peanut butter. freeze. Now break it down and freeze.
Now break it down and freeze. Now way up, way up, way up, way up. Now there you go, there you go, there you go, there you go.
Peanut butter jelly.
Peanut butter jelly.
Peanut butter jelly.
Peanut butter jelly.
Do the peanut butter jelly.
Peanut butter jelly.
Peanut butter jelly with a baseball bat.
Do the